Om Shanti. Nice to be able to join you for this session. I have to say, this is kind of one area, and just reflecting back on what Brother Augusto was sharing, this aspect of developing deeper yoga can only come from finding more depth in the knowledge. You know, when we first come, we can experience a deep level of peace, but as we begin to progress, one of the things we'll find is staleness in our yoga will creep in, particularly when we sit there and we can just experience fuzziness, you know, this fluffy kind of floating feeling in our meditation where we're not really going anywhere because the mind isn't strong enough to work with knowledge. And this is when we have to take, as Augusto said, that next step into really working with knowledge in the right way, in our own way, not in a superficial way. So for me, I wanted to start just by sharing some experiences with you, and then, thank you. To start by sharing some experiences with you, and then I've got a process that you can use. So just go away, find your own space, follow this process, and just see what emerges. Yeah. The key thing is if you haven't developed this habit of churning the murli in any way, then this process is a good guide. And just experiment with it. Don't force yourself into, I need to experience so many things. Just take something, follow it, and just see where it goes. Be inquisitive. Just use it as a bit of a laboratory, yeah? So, one of the things Augusto shared, which kind of I can relate to, and particularly the process can relate to. By the way, before I go into this, I know you're all in silence. So if anybody's unsure, I'm going to try and speak slowly now because I know there are a few of you from different countries as well. If anybody needs me to repeat something, let's just use hand gestures. So we just do this, yeah, to repeat, yeah. If I'm unsure, just raise your hand and do that, yeah. And if I ask you a question and you're good, just do that. If you're not so good, just do that, yeah. Simple, but actually just means we can communicate with each other. Okay, so one thing was, one of the things that I've learned, and I'll share a little story with you. Many years ago, I'd come to Motherbun, and I must admit, I wasn't taking the murli that seriously. And I'd find myself in Daddy's cottage with Pinks and Nicks and the three of us, and she would give us things to do. So she would give us all of her classes. We would have to extract points from all of her classes. We didn't realize why she was doing it, of course, but we'd be sitting up in our rooms and we'd be talking to each other and having deep spiritual chit-chat and drawing the essence of all of her depth and wisdom and put them into kind of like 21 bullet points that she would then distribute. Whatever the outcome is irrelevant. The process itself brought a lot of intoxication. So just being able to work with truth, yeah, real truth, you're able to spark something inside of you that creates excitement, energy, intoxication. And I remember, normally we used to just, you know, kind of go to bed at 2 o'clock and wake up at 4:30, yeah, like most of us do. But actually we'd spend the afternoons churning. And it was really, really lovely because at the end of that afternoon, we just feel more energized. So there's this deep connection between working with the murli, working with truth, yeah, and it's stimulating a new energy inside of us that keeps us alive. And this energy can be, I suppose, the words that I can use to describe this energy are a subtle intoxication. Yeah, it's not a grossly intoxication. You know, it's not an intoxication we get from worldly pleasures, but it's a very subtle intoxication, which comes with an interest to learn. So that's another thing that begins to develop, a real genuine interest to want to explore more, to want to know more, to become a student again. And the third thing is this energy of enthusiasm. And this is what I find is the driving force for us to kind of move forward in Brahmin life. Without enthusiasm, we have got nothing, zero energy. So the work that we can do, we can achieve this energy and draw this energy from working with knowledge in a very short space of time. If we just do it in the right way, I think sometimes we don't necessarily know where to start or how to start. Yeah, often we look at this 2.5 pages and you kind of think, do I have to digest everything? Do I have to become the fountain of all knowledge and wisdom all in one go? No. You know, so let's just break it down and make it really grounded so that you guys can work with it and feel comfortable and enjoy the process. And that's the key thing. If you're not gaining an enjoyment from the process, something is not right. The other preparation point that I'd like to express, which I think is very deep here, is the connection between honesty and the Merli as your guidance. Now, for a long time, I'd read the Merli and try and generate a sense of enthusiasm from the Merli straight away. But actually, you know, sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't. The key thing for me that changed was when I started writing my chart. Yeah, and for me, chart is, you know, is not the right word. I felt that it was an opportunity for me just to share what's in my heart with God. Yeah, it was a letter to Baba every night. And it was my way of just being able to honor the way I feel and to be able to express that in words between me and God. And that dialogue helped me not just find myself, but it helped me begin to receive guidance in the form of Baba's knowledge, through Baba's knowledge, yeah? So the very next day, surprisingly, there'd always be something of value. So automatically there's a link between the effort that I'm making, the honesty that's emerging, and the guidance that I'm receiving the next day. And when you're more and more in tune with that, actually the Merli becomes the bedrock for you. So this is a deep part of beginning to work with the Merli. Oh, of course.
As I sit in silence, let me bring my attention inwards. Let me ask myself this question. If I were to create a thought in the timeline of my mind that Baba can give a life, that Baba would love to hear, what would that one thought be right now?
The last thing, which kind of goes without saying, is this aspect of purity. And often underestimated, especially when it comes to keeping our heart space clean. When that heart space is not clean, you will not be able to work with the Merli. There is no two ways about it. You will try and work with the Merli, but you will only work with it at a superficial level. And actually, you'll find it an exhausting process. You'll find it a process that won't bring out much. So I remember in the first retreat, Sister Mona shared on the panel that she doesn't like to keep any ill feelings inside of her. And I feel this is a deep part of being able to check what is in my heart and to be able to give that to Baba so that that's not polluting your heart space. Because when it is and when it does begin to pollute your heart space, actually you're not able to draw love from Baba or from the Merli. So I feel this aspect of purity is significant, well, it's the biggest part, that enables us to draw at a level that can bring value. Okay, so I've just shared kind of some context areas, you know, kind of some of the things that can be taken for granted, but we just need to be aware of to deepen our experience with the Merli. A few areas of preparation, yeah, and I'll probably share for the next 10 more minutes, and then we can go through this spiritual journal process. But I'll take extracts from today's Merli and just work with them in front of you so that you can go away and do it for yourself. So is everyone with me so far? Yeah? Am I speaking at a right pace? Yeah? Thumbs up? Oh, excellent. Good. Thank you. Okay, so preparation-wise, and this is from my experience, one of the ways that I feel I've been able to connect with the Merli is when I really listen to it like Baba speaking to me personally. And, you know, I almost imagine Baba sitting in Banda Bhavan and him talking when I'm hearing them really. And that actually brings a different energy to that space. It's not just words that are hitting you, but actually it's coming from a source that you've developed a relationship with, that you love, that you value. And you can then begin to see that love come through in the form of different relationships. You know, the father, the teacher, and the Satguru are the main relationships. But that's how, when we're listening to the Murli, it's the relationship that really matters. Yeah, because that's when we can remember it more. That's when we can feel it more. Yeah, that's when all of the values of the relationship begin to emerge. So in today's Murli, he talks about the role of the father again. Yeah, maybe we just think about, you know, I mean, I'm not teaching you how to suck eggs here, but the reality is when we look at our own fathers or maybe a relationship with a father that we have that's loving, that's caring, a father's role is often to... He's often to take his kids and get them to where they need to be, right? One way or another. I remember I didn't want to go to school when I was young. In fact, I had a real resistance to going to school. And my first day in school, my father had to carry my arms, my uncle had to carry my legs, and they had to carry me to school kicking and screaming. And that memory came to life because when Baba gives us the Murli, he's giving us the Murli as the father because as one of his responsibilities as the father is to take us and get us there kicking and screaming. And that is the father. You know, he can't just let you go. It's impossible. So one way or another, he's going to get you there. And just having that faith through your own experience creates an energy of comfort and relationship with the Murli. So it's up to us to find our own experiences and connect them with the Murli in the right way. So relationship is key. You know, when I look at the teacher is, I was never really an academic student. You know, Gopi was the brightest in our family. I wasn't particularly bright when it came to academia, but I was very good with my hands and very good with people and very good in the space of work. But taking my relationship with teacher seriously took some time. You know, to be able to see everything as black and white. Teacher is black and white. There are no shades of grey. You know, a mother will love, you know, when you've made a mistake and uplift you. A teacher, it is what it is. You know, you've either passed or you failed. And I think when we develop a relationship with a teacher, it brings a level of strictness and obedience into the way we relate to the knowledge and the way we work with the knowledge. You know, we respect it because we know that actually if we fail, we will suffer. Yeah, and we have to pass because it's our role, right? We have to pass, yeah? So again, when we get deeper into our own experiences, life experiences, we can relate to these different roles. And I think that's a really important thing here, to begin to build a personal relationship with the Murli. Okay, and the personal connection is key because there's one Murli, but there's so many ways that each of us will relate to it. So the next point I wanted to share was to connect your experiences to strengthen your understanding. Yeah, so Baba today mentioned a couple of times, he made this point constantly. So connecting your experiences to strengthen your understanding is important as well. And by that, we have to reflect back on our lives and see some of what Baba's saying to us in the Murli. And that allows this point to be retained in our memories, yeah? Because otherwise we will just see it as words and we'll be falling half asleep. By the time we leave the door of the center, actually we've forgotten everything. So doing the work just to be able to, whilst Baba's speaking to you, those words not just sinking in, but actually it's invoking a memory or an experience that you can relate to, that makes it powerful. So I'll give you an example. So today Baba mentioned a couple of points. Constantly remember me alone and all your sins will be absolved. This is what it means to be Manmanabhav. That was one point. And then he goes on to say, further on, do not remember any bodily beings. You know, the two very powerful points. You know, in the first point, the word constant comes in. Alone comes in as well. So this aspect of faith and obedience. And you know, the one memory that came to mind this morning for me is that my grandmother passed away earlier this year. And really powerful scene before she passed away. She was suffering a lot. You know, she had a diseased body. She was very restless, but she couldn't go. She was ready to go, but she could not leave the body. And the reason she couldn't leave the body was because she was remembering another bodily being. And that bodily being happened to be her daughter. And she just for 2 days, she was suffering in bed, remembering her daughter. You know, so in the end times, when the soul wants to leave, the attachment will keep it grounded in the body until that soul is seen. And for her, she needed to see her daughter. And it was when we called her daughter came running. 2 hours later, she left her body. Powerful. But the last person she sees is the person she remembers. Yeah. Which is why Baba says, break our attachments. So it's a great experience for me to recall because of what I could remember and why it's significant for us, because that who we remember last is who we'll end up with first. Yeah. So really vital that we hammer some of these points home through some of the practical experiences we've had, if we've had them. You know, so for me that was significant. So for you, there could be something completely different in the Murali, but be able to relate to a powerful experience is key. So the next point for me was quite an interesting one. Follow your interest. I mean, this kind of goes without saying. You know, initially you kind of look at the Murali and you think, I can't relate to a lot of this stuff, yeah? And that's fine. But there is stuff that you can relate to focus on that stuff. Because those are the points that will create an interest, especially when I haven't developed a habit. I need a starting point. I can't start working on an area that I haven't really quite got an interest in. I've got to focus on the areas that Baba's touched me on, that relate to me, that relate to where I'm at from an honest space and a grounded space. Yeah. Key thing here is to keep it real. You know, we can get really fluffy in our heads about what we think knowledge is, yeah, but actually it's the ego working away. It's not really working from a space of truth. When we're grounded and we're honest, actually we can look at the points and see them as they are and just begin to assess ourselves against that point with a lot of honesty. And honesty is a journey for, you know, I have to say, you know, I thought, you know, I wasn't honest when I came to Baba, but eventually I have become honest. But the level of honesty deepens and deepens as your purity deepens. So the key thing here is there's always room for growth. But following your interest is a great starting point to begin a relationship with the Murali if you haven't got one, yeah? The other thing I feel is pivotal, absolutely key, is taking one point and practically applying that point. This is common sense, but in today's Murali, Baba mentioned Om Shanti, the value of this greeting or this term Om Shanti that was created, and Om meaning me separate to the body. And just being able to take that and just sit and practice it. I mean, let's just take a moment for a second, yeah? Close your eyes and really from your hearts, sing inside Om. Om. Just feel the separation between you and the body. And then Shanti. Om. And then Shanti. And if we're able to draw an experience just by absorbing that point, that alone is powerful. I'm not saying we're going to do that all the time. For a long time, I never used to say Om Shanti because I felt false using the term Om Shanti, because I was just saying it more like a hello or a thank you without really having a meaning behind it. But eventually I felt more comfortable recognizing that even if I don't consider myself and I'm saying it, I still feel part of a godly clan. And that is a greeting that separates us from the world outside. So I took a lot of pride in it. when I use the term Om Shanti. And it's for us to be able to really work with this knowledge in our own way so that, you know, it can be retained in that way. So Om Shanti, when we practice things like that, really important. I know from previous Muralis as well, I try and find pockets of time that go beyond churning, but I take some of the drills that Papa says. You know, I'll be coming down in the lift in the place I live. It's on the 9th floor, and I'm coming down to the ground floor, and I use that time just to be able to churn through what Baba's trying to say and use that as a metaphor in some way to create an experience. Or when I'm going up the lift, and also when I'm taking a bathroom break, when I'm at work, you know, that's a great time just to be able to put something into practice. I'm not saying it happens all the time, but actually it happens when there is an interest for myself. Okay, so this aspect of another aspect is remembering the Murali and visualizing a point. Now, most of us work with images more, right? You can visualize an image more than you can remember words. So taking something like a point in Baba's Murali, and again, we'll go through the process that you can use this for yourself. When you create a scene in your mind, that will be retained. 100% guaranteed, which means you can then use a trigger for that scene, yeah, in your own life, however you need it, yeah. So some of you may be, you know, catching a bus every day. As you sit down, that scene could emerge again. So we've got to find our own way to create this connection of remembrance with Baba. He doesn't say constantly have yoga with me. He's not saying that. He says constantly remember me. So when I'm sat in a bus and I'm finding my way of connecting with him through an image, that is Manmanabhav. Yeah, that is the definition of Manmanabhav. So being able to visualize a point is key. Like Baba talked about the bride today. Now we can take that quite literally. And for a lot of the brothers, you kind of think, I can't really relate to that. But is Baba really meaning the bride? What does he mean when he says the bride? He means the qualities of a bride, doesn't he? You know, when we remember this term, when Baba says, you know, to be constantly wed is to be constantly fortunate. Yeah. So if we're constantly wed, the qualities he's seeking in a bride are what? But Daddy Janki mentioned these three qualities yesterday. Obedience, honesty, faithful. You know, these three qualities of being absolutely loyal to the One creates a feeling that actually, you know, as brothers, if we were to have a wife, and we wouldn't in this birth, hopefully, then these are the qualities you'd be looking for in a bride, right? You'd want to have an honest relationship, a faithful relationship, obedient relationship. And so I think it's looking beyond the superficial, looking beyond what Baba's saying as this is the relationship you should have, but actually looking more at the qualities of the relationship, yeah, and working with that. Good. Everyone with me so far, yeah? Yeah, thank you. So only a couple more points here, yeah? So we've covered the Father. One thing that's worked for me as a process is, so Baba talks about realizing the soul and the point today. He talks about those in the world aren't able to realize the soul or the supreme soul. Now you can see me sitting in front of you in this bodily costume conveying a message to you, or you can see me as a source of energy that's bringing a feeling out to you. You know, and to be able to realize the soul is to be able to realize the pure energy that it's emitting and catching that energy. And if we're able to tune into that for a second, yeah, and not see the body, but to see the soul expressing itself in the form of energy, your perspective has changed immediately. This is a puppet. I'm opening my mouth, but actually there's a feeling behind the words here. Now I'm tuning into the energy of the soul. So you see, again, we're going beyond the point, but we're now beginning to apply that point at a level where we're interacting with each other. So these subtle things across the day, you know, you can observe, you can watch somebody and actually just see as they open their mouth, forget what they look like, forget how they say things, work with the soul emitting an energy. You know, when we're looking at the qualities that are emerging, that's when we're really identifying with the soul. Okay. That's probably enough, I feel, to get started with anyway. So we'll go to the process. Now, Brother Vijay is going to share a kind of a loose process that was put together to help focus your churning. And this was something that we'd prepared for a silence retreat that we were running in Worthing. And Brother Vijay enjoyed it so much, he decided that maybe it would be of value here. It was inspired by, I had many friends who were Christians. What I appreciated about my Christian friends was their ability to study. Really, they were very studious in getting together, churning over Christ's and the teachings of the Bible, that it actually made me feel quite guilty. Here we found God and we can't even do that, and they don't even know God to his true extent, and they devote the time. And one of the aspects that they use, one of the people I know used, was this approach of saw. So this comes straight from Christianity, by the way, yeah. But it's been completely adapted for us, yeah. And I love this term saw, because does anybody know what it means? I can just explain what saw means. So when you saw, you are flying extremely high. Extremely high, and that's when you're gliding almost, yeah. You're expending less energy, you're flying extremely high without engine power. So eagles soar, you know, gliders soar. And so it was beautiful, because it struck me, when we develop a relationship with the Murli to that extent, we will fly so high with this intoxication and enthusiasm that we won't need to use any engines, it will just happen naturally. So it was a nice way just to be able to remember something that we can apply in a process. Writing for me is the key. Writing is a way to be able to tune into the heart and enable the pen to be an extension, not of your mind, but of your heart. Really begin to feel the Murli at that level. And the first aspect is silent study. So the approach is, we start with the silent study, break the Murli down into short extracts. Just pick anything. You know, if you're starting for the first time, just pick any extract that you want. Read it. Read it again slowly. Work with it. If it doesn't quite fit with you, move on to another extract. But don't try and digest the whole Murli. Yeah, because it ain't going to happen, and it's not going to be very fun. But taking something that's manageable will begin to make it work for you. And as you can see, it's described, read slowly and allow Baba to speak to you. You know, so when you read the extract, it's important that you're not reading it, but you're able to absorb through the form of a relationship. Yeah, so Baba, is he my father here? Is he my teacher here? Is he the Sapguru here? You know, what is he trying to reveal to me? And that's the form of relationship, because the relationship brings feeling. Yeah? So that's the first thing. Start by identifying in what relationship he's speaking to you, extract it, and then you'll have a connection with that extract. The second point is observation. What do you think Baba is saying to you? Not to the whole world, not to the BK family, but to you personally. And I think this is where we have, you know, when you sat in front of the Murli, and even whoever the instrument is, but you visualize Brahma Baba speaking to you, that's when you visualize, this is a personal message for me. And this is when you can relate that point to you. So what is Baba really trying to say to you? And extracting it for your own journey in this moment, because the Murli is tuned into this moment. Yeah, and it's relevant for where you are in this moment. The third part of the process is application. Yeah. So now we begin to work with the knowledge. We kind of know intuitively, because we're working with truth here, and we are honest internally, where this is applicable. Sometimes it will be very obvious where this is applicable, especially if you've opened your heart the night before and the point strikes you. How many of you have had that? Yeah, where something in the Murli is directly relevant to what you've gone through. Okay, so this is an experience we're building on, but actually we're making it more constant and consistent. Yeah. So the application, how does it apply to your life right now? And what is Baba trying to reveal? Is it instruction? Is it encouragement? Is it revelation of a new approach? Is it corrections in a particular area? So that, you know, knowledge will come to you in different forms. What is it that you need right now? We need to discern and identify with that. You know, what I used to do, what I really enjoyed, is I collect all my blessings. Anyone, everyone collect their blessings? Yeah, nobody throws them away, yeah? It's good. Good. A few years ago, I started the process of just being able to identify what blessing I'm getting at what time. Yeah, so this was like, I'd come from my Motherbun experience, and I'd get a certain start to blessings, because it will be based on your stage, it will be based on what Baba's trying to say to you, and then it's up to us to be able to discern how Baba is guiding us through this. Not just the Murli, but the blessings in particular, you will see, especially when you're going through turmoil, Baba will try and pick you up first. The first blessing you'll get, he will tell you what you are. You are the most wonderful, you are the bestest, you are the most special, beloved, everything under the sun. It will hit you like a thunderbolt, yeah? The next blessings I was beginning to read were more instructive. They were much more around this, you know, you need to seek forgiveness, and this is what will happen as a result of it. So they were very instructive, and that's my intuition was beginning to pick this up, and I could automatically relate it to different parts of my life, because there is truth in that moment. Yeah, when we come to Baba's energy, there is truth.
My attention in word. Let me sign in to my soul book. As my soul book opens, let me check what is currently happening on the page of my mind.
Okay, so apply. Everyone happy with apply, yeah? Yeah? Everyone's got one of these, yeah? Okay, good. So the last point is responding in remembrance. So it's either some form of acknowledgement. You know, when we receive something of tremendous value, the first thing we have is, thank you, Baba. It's sincere appreciation from our hearts. And I think that acknowledgement is important, because it then allows us to begin to use whatever point we've received in the form of a blessing. You know, where Baba gives us the energy to apply it there and then. And so the key thing is being able to create a connection with Baba at that point, and whatever it is, if it's, you know, Baba said in Murli's recently in the last 10 days, if it's an auspicious thought, do it straight away. Do it straight away. Do not hang back. Do not think too much about it. If the feeling is right, just go with it, because that's how he works. He works with the energy of the present. So, and then after we've worked with it, it's just about observing how the drama is guiding you. Because at that point, you're now surrendering to say, Baba, I'm putting myself into your shoes. I'm going to take something you've given me, Srimat, and I'm going to apply it. I'll leave the outcome to you now. Yeah, and then see what happens. And I think a big part of us building confidence in ourselves, in our relationship with Baba, and in our relationship with the Murli, is to be able to surrender and to see what happens. And to be able to register that experience as one step of faith coming closer to Baba. Yeah, so this is the way in which we can begin to work with the Murli in our own way, but in a real and grounded way. You know, it's something that brings us practical change in our life. You know, someone can be coming to the Murli for 10 years, but if they haven't drawn anything practical from it, they have learned nothing. We will always draw something from the Murli. Baba says, even if you're feeling at your worst and you come in front of him and you listen to the Murli will be working to cleanse the soul in some way. Yeah, because it's operating at a frequency that's 100. You know, and our frequencies fluctuates, which is why we can't catch the purity of the Murli and retain all of it. So this is a process I hope we can all practice now for the next 20 minutes. Just find yourself a space anywhere. Read it as a reminder, just relate to some of the experiences that I've shared as well, and work on today's Murli to see what emerges, and just play. Yeah? Good. Sorry? No, I think you need to finish by 11:15, don't you? Okay. I mean, this process, really, if you want to do it properly, you want to spend 30 minutes on it. Yeah. Yeah. So go away and spend 30 minutes on this and really enjoy yourselves. Yeah. And use everything around you. You know, you've got the beauty of Gyan Sarovar. You've got wonderful scenes. You've got the Murali. Visualize your blessings. Bring your blessings with you. Whatever you've got, you're able to use. But allow yourself to be guided without too much thinking. Follow your heart and just play and just experiment. Yeah, yeah. You can use the Murali on your phone if you haven't got a copy. BKDR Luha can always deliver a copy to you. The one thing I'll say as well is I spoke about the main relationships, father, teacher, and Satguru, but you know, for a long time my relationships with God have been outside of those three. You know, friend being one, but I've really enjoyed the businessman and the boss very much, actually. I've taken a lot of guidance and instruction in terms of how a leader works. And you know, a leader's job, I'll just share an insight with you that you may be able to relate to. As a leader in my work field, one of the things that I'd have to do is to respond to where people are within the team. Yeah. And it's not my job always to go and find out where they're at. It's their job to upload to me because I can't do it all the time. Yeah. So one of the phrases we have at work is manage up. Yeah. So if you have an issue, the door's open. Be transparent, reveal everything, yeah? And this, I feel, is an important learning for me when it came to my relationship with Baba. Because for a long time, I would not disclose things to him. I would not discuss things with him. And that's the worst thing a leader needs, you know, a quiet person, yeah? Because leaders will respond to those that are in front of them. And as soon as they're in front of them asking for help, they're straight there delivering help. And that's why I felt very comforted in developing this relationship as boss with him. I also felt through challenges in service, you know, that sometimes there's clashes of sanskars, there's, you know, real extreme arrogance that begins to emerge in service, and that can create a lot of disruption in service. But as a leader, you know, if I've recruited somebody into the team and I've backed this person, you know, I've recruited this person because I think they're very good at what they do based on their qualities, and they will support the team. If somebody else in the team doesn't want to work with them, then they're defaming me, right? Yeah, so that's disrespectful towards the leader. So using that experience for me showed me that actually as a leader, if Baba backs them, I have to back them. Yeah, so it's... Our experience tells us a lot about the types of relationships we want to broker with God. Use that to create a real relationship, not one of falseness and fluffiness, because that just doesn't work. So on that note, I'm going to leave you in peace. Find half an hour in your favorite spot anywhere and enjoy. One app that will be very useful for all of you is Moon Reader. So you read your on your phones, you can read the Murali using a PDF viewer, yeah? But Moon Reader is an app you can get on Play Store if you've got Android, and that allows you to highlight. I know you can do it in PDF, but you can extract the highlights as well in Moon Reader. So it's a good app. Use it. Om Shanti.